Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It is time. Live Nation is teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center this summer. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Looking for caller number 6 to score that pair of tickets and check out Chris Brown at the Golden 1 Center on July 30th. Caller number 6. For more information, visit sactownsports.com. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Looking for caller number 6.
666.
666.
You did that because you know Chris Brown and Drake got beef, huh?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that.
You
want to talk about ultimate bag fumbles? Our boy Breezy, man.
Yeah.
Could have had it all. Could have had the world, man.
He could have.
That was one of my first thoughts when after they announced Usher as the Super Bowl, I was like, it's just crazy how this was meant to be Chris Brown. He was meant to be, as crazy as it sounds it now, but you know, 15, 20 years ago, did not sound crazy to say, this kid is going to be the modern day Michael Jackson.
Well, it's different now, right? With all of with YouTube and Spotify and TikTok and everybody is a singer now, we talk a lot about the sports industry and how people were put in certain situations and they succeeded or did not succeed because of it. Chris Brown, back in those days, there were certain people that were given opportunities and you do what you can with them.
Yes.
And Chris Brown was one of a kind. I mean, you hadn't seen anything like him since Usher, but in a lot of ways, he was better.
It was a different level.
He was better in the hits that he was coming out with.
The dancing, to me, the dancing was the thing that set it. Like, that's the Michael Jackson level to me, was he could have done whatever the modern day moonwalk moment would have been Chris Brown's to have.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, because of his talent, he still is
wildly successful. That's the craziest thing, man. That's the craziest thing about it.
And you have a chance to see him July 30th at the Golden One Center. Caller number 6, it looks like Nate may have found his person, the lucky caller number 6. He's on the phone right now, so congrats to you.
Number
your
6.
Your chance to see Chris Brown.
I believe we'll have those tickets all week, yeah? I would imagine so.
Probably.
I would imagine so.
When they bring them to
my history of promotions tells me we're probably going to have
you
it
would know
the
better
week.
Than I, yeah. but I will assume yes. So hopefully you will get another shot to win your tickets. There's an update from a fellow. I know we said we're not pocket watching, but another team to look out for. There is an update on Andrew Wiggins.
That's right.
He is expected to return to team activities with the Warriors this week. After tending to a serious family matter, sources tell Anthony Slater, Wiggins is en route back to the Bay Area today after missing the previous 4 games.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. I guess crisis averted.
I guess, right?
For the Warriors, four games is nothing compared to what they had to deal with.
Do you think that plays into the initial announcement at all, like in the sense of like, oh, we don't think it'll be as long as last year,
maybe,
but if we put this out and then it ends up being shorter, like
ends
up being much to do about nothing.
Right. That's possible.
Whereas like if you just come out last week and say, hey, Wiggins is going to miss, 2 weeks with family personal matters. I don't know. It's just such a weird situation.
It is. Now, looking at this from, and I don't even like looking at this thing anymore, man. It's funny because after a Kings win, you can't wait for them to update the standings. And after a Kings loss, you just don't want to look at them.
That's right.
Well, I'm looking at them right now. And 7-10 are separated by, the Warriors are 2 games behind the Kings. And the Warriors got their, everybody has their eyes set on that 6th seed, right? And
everybody's got their stuff together too, except for the Kings.
Right. We do believe that the Suns will fall off a cliff.
Yes. I
mean, they're just they don't have the horses.
They don't have the facilities.
And Bradley
for
Beal
that
is back. Bradley Beal, because he came back and he got ejected. because he was beefing with Jalen Green. But Bradley Beal is back.
Because he missed the bench so much. He was
That's right. That's right. He said, oh, man, that feels like my home. And he's back now. Devin Booker's out.
That's right.
And we believe that the Suns will probably fall off a cliff. The Kings are still only a half game behind them. But that's not really the problem. The problem is just as much as who's in front of you as it is who's behind you.
That's right.
So we're pretty close, Chris, unfortunately. If the Pelicans don't start, and fine, we'll do pocket watching. If the Pelicans don't start losing pretty soon here, five might be unattainable.
Yeah.
And it's getting close.
Yeah, and the more games the Kings trick off, the less likely it is. That's the danger of being in the situation that the Kings are in right now, and that's why you cannot afford to lose games to teams like the Bulls. And yeah, you have the Spurs coming up again. These Lakers games even. Yeah, like you say the Kings, you don't feel good about the Kings winning tomorrow. Well, they better pick up one of these games. They play the Lakers twice. In a week-long span from Wednesday to next Wednesday, you got to at least split them. And that's kind of the situation the Kings have found themselves in is you're now at the point, and I mean, they've honestly been at the point, but now you can really see it affect the standings pretty severely on a nightly basis. I mean, they just have to perform, man. They cannot continue to drop games because, Lakers are beating teams. Now they're playing. I think they're 11-4 or 11-3 since the start of last month. Warriors, same exact thing. They're on a roll. Everybody except for the Kings right now have it figured out. And there's still time. There's still 22 games for them to go on their own little mini run. Hopefully it happens now. But man, I just don't want to get to April and have that be the determining factor, because really we went through the Phoenix schedule yesterday. I just don't have faith in the Kings in April. I think that there's a lot of tough matchups, and if you're not performing well leading into those games, I have no faith at all that those games are going to be some get-right type games where you're playing in Boston, in New York, in OKC, and then you have to come home and play teams like the Pelicans, and I think the Suns again at the end of the year. That's just a brutal, brutal way to end the season, and you're really having to earn your spot. So again, I'm going to continue to say Kings have to do their work as early as possible, and at this point, that's now. You have to take care of this month of March.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about the Suns and their April. Their April is just ridiculous, but the Kings' April is not easy.
Yeah, no,
so it's not as bad as the Suns, but it's also not easy. And just looking at this five seed, Chris, the Pelicans are at Raptors today, and the Pelicans normally know how to take care of business. They're at Raptors, at Sixers, which is
whatever. Who knows? Depends on the
night. At Hawks, host the Cavs, host the Clippers, host the Blazers, go to Nets, go to Magic, go to Heat.
It's about as
go
easy
to
as
Pistons.
Gets.
So
it's about as easy as it gets.
I know.
These days.
After that Pistons game, March 24th, they do have, after this is their tough stretch now, they do host the Thunder, host the Bucks, host the Celtics, host the Suns, then host the Magic.
Okay.
So, and that, again, that's toward, that Celtics game is the last game for them in March.
Yeah.
Then that Suns game starts April.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for the Pelicans.
The Kings have two games against Dallas, too, still remaining. Back-to-back against Dallas. Those games are going to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, the Pelicans seem to be taking care of business, so that five seed is fading. It's not gone, but it's fading. You lose tomorrow night, and then you have, what is it, a back-to-back? So they go to L.A., then they come back. Yep. The Spurs just got a win a couple days ago.
Sure, they're against OKC. Yeah.
They're feeling good. Then you got
they've given Kings some trouble, too.
Then you have a team that you have not beat before in the Rockets.
No, thanks.
Say what you want about the Rockets, but it was a long time ago, but you get the Rockets, and then you host the Bucks, and then you host the Lakers,
my goodness,
and then you host the Knicks.
It's tough, man. Like, it sounds like everybody's going to have their one gauntlet left, but it's more just, I mean, you know, again, maybe we're too deep, maybe we're watching this team too many days in a row, but it's so hard to have faith that they're going to turn this thing around. And even if they do turn it around for two games, that it's going to be something that's going to stick around. they've just, I mean, yeah, the hopium's gone. It's really tough for me to feel, and I'm not saying they can't do it, but again, if you just want to give me a gut check vibe, I don't feel positive. I feel like they would have to severely outplay my expectations for them to essentially, I mean, to ask them to go 11-4 the rest of this month is, I mean, it's crazy. Like, even if on paper that's what they should go, you can't watch this team all year and then say, yeah, they're going to go on a streak where they lose 4 games in 15 games.
Yeah, and you get a little the Lakers games are going to be huge for a number of reasons. The other thing is, yeah, if you can power through this, the reason that we had said March was a little bit softer is because after that Knicks game, you host the Grizzlies, you go to Toronto, yeah. You go to Wizards, you go to Magic, which won't be easy, but you go to Magic, you host the Sixers, and then you have 2 against the Mavericks at home.
Huge.
26th and 29th, and then you host the Jazz, and that's the end of March.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
and then it gets real.
And then April, host the Clippers, go to Knicks, go to Celtics, go to Nets, go to Thunder, host the Pelicans, host the Suns, host
and
the Blazers.
Right.
And that's it. That's all she wrote, folks.
That's all she wrote. So, again, even if things aren't relative, like even the Orlando Magic game, you correctly point out, that's not going to be easy. But again, like relatively, yeah, that's not the Suns. It's not the Celtics. It's, you know, it's not going on the road and playing the Bucks or playing the Knicks. Like, you've got to win those. You just have to win those. And if you don't, I mean, you're going to have to get some surprises along the way. I'm talking about a Celtics win here. I'm talking about a Bucks victory.
Bucks are starting to figure it out.
Sixers game. They sure are. You know, yeah, Doc was like, I hope he got all the laughs in before because his team's rolling now. The Kings are going to have to, I mean, at this point, they're just going to have to outplay expectations. And that's really the reality of the situation. They've put themselves in a spot where they've tricked off all leeway, all leash, all slack that they were given. And now it's on them to execute at every single turn. And if they don't, then this is going to continue to be an incredibly frustrating season that's probably going to end with a lot more anger than excitement. And that just feels like where we're trending right now, that come this offseason, there's going to be a lot more people upset than feeling positively about the direction that this thing is going.
When we return, Adam Schefter shares a very unique story on how the Niners ended up with Brock Purdy. Some Niners fans love it. Some Niners fans don't really want to hear that right now. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
So, these stories come out. I believe Adam Schefter, was it? I think it was Barstool that he was on, if I'm not mistaken. And Adam Schefter shares a story.
It is Barstool.
Yeah, shares a story on Barstool about how the Niners ended up with Brock Purdy. And I'm curious Niners fans' thoughts. I'm curious Nate's thoughts. It's cool, but what do you want us to do with this information? The way Adam Schefter says things along the way also burns a little bit if you are a Niners fan. Let's hear what he had to say.
The draft where the 49ers in 2017 had the second overall pick. Patrick Mahomes was in that draft.
Okay.
They didn't do any work on him.
Yeah.
Because they thought the following offseason, Kirk Cousins was leaving Washington.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Hold on. This gets better and better. So Kirk Cousins is leaving Washington. They thought that he would want to be there. They would want him there. And it's a layup. So there's no reason to do any real work on the quarterbacks in the 2017 draft. So why do you need to work on Patrick Mahomes with Deshaun Watson when you know you're going to get Kirk Cousins?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is New England calls up San Francisco that Halloween. It's like, hey, we got to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Just give us a two. Really? Well, they do that. So that blows up the Kirk Cousins plan. But back to that draft in 2017, the only quarterback that they did extensive work on, that they wound up trading up for, in the third round, they moved up to take C.J. Beathard.
Mm.
And when C.J. Beathard left after 4 years and signed with Jacksonville, the 49ers got a compensatory seventh-round draft pick.
Oh.
And with that compensatory seventh-round draft pick that they got from the draft in which they bypassed Patrick Mahomes, they took Brock Purdy.
That's who is such better than Patrick Mahomes.
That's such a beautiful story.
That is a great story.
I don't really know what to do with that. It, honestly, that would make me upset if I were a Niners fan. Was Kirk Cousins ever thought of that highly? And I know Shanahan has a connection that we're just, you're set on Kirk Cousins, but then you blow that up because you like Jimmy Garoppolo better?
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where, I mean, I can definitely tell you, there was a lot of Niners, Kirk Cousins to the Niners is, it's not a matter of if, it's when.
No, I hear you, but then they decided Jimmy Garoppolo was better?
Let me explain the Jimmy thing. The Niners were so bad.
Mm-hmm. Very bad.
So bad, and the quarterback was such a problem. Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard were so bad. They turned the ball over so much. Jimmy Garoppolo comes in at the end of the Seattle game in garbage time, throws a touchdown on that drive, and everyone's like, oh, nice. Gets the start next week, wins a game. I think this was a one-win team at the time. And then wins out and right. beats a playoff team in the Titans.
Yeah.
This was crazy.
Yeah.
This was crazy. You're like, oh my God, this was the problem. And everyone thinks Jimmy G is only Jimmy G post-ACL. That guy was different before. He could move a little bit. He would rip the ball. He had less fear.
Yeah.
He's a different guy. It was a different time. It's so easy to look back and just be like, nah, they're stupid for that or whatever. You know, take what you want. But the Jimmy thing, it was a game changer overnight for the 49ers.
But when they initially got Jimmy, were they still planning on getting Kirk Cousins, but then Jimmy balled out?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because why would you get Kirk Cousins then?
Yeah.
And why would you move from Jimmy? Listen, the only reason Kurt was coming was because there was no answer for the 49ers. Shanahan, from what I understand, loves still Kirk Cousins.
Yes, he still does.
Loves him.
Yes,
very much.
He was going to bring him in, and that was the move. Yeah. And honestly, it might have worked.
No, it would have.
It might have worked.
It would have. I'm telling you.
It might have worked at, like, maybe an early playoff exit or something. I don't know.
No, y'all would have won.
Super Bowl?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa, that's a great, okay.
Yes.
That's a.
When, 2019?
Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
That is the problem with Kirk, is that he's really good.
Honestly.
He comes up short in the moments where you would want him to come up big.
Maybe the 2020 year too, Jimmy was hurt the whole time. The 2018 year, he tore his ACL. So you think, all right, maybe that guy, I don't know, if Kirk is in there and he's healthy for the full season.
I don't really know if you're a Niners fan. It ends with Brock. Really, it's just interesting more than anything else, whether it's good or bad.
Butterfly effect.
It's right. Yes, that's what it is. It's a butterfly
effect. It's just a silly. It's like, how are we here in this moment right now? So many things had to go right to be right where everything is right now.
Or
so
wrong.
He's just explaining
wrong.
It. Yeah.
And Schefter
kind of comes off as like he's breaking something there. Like,
but that's what
I'm saying. Nothing he said was news.
No.
And I guess he was dropping the bomb of like that seventh round pick
Brock
turned
Purdy.
Into Brock Purdy.
Right.
And I don't think I knew that.
That would
he actually didn't even say Brock Purdy's. He just said, and that's how they got a second seventh round compensatory pick.
No, and then he says, and that compensatory pick was. But that would have hit so much harder with a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah.
That whole thing, that whole story is so much better with the Super Bowl victory.
What does that have to do with?
Because what's the point of the story?
I don't.
And besides reminding Niners fans that you didn't scout Patrick Mahomes, you
scouted
Deshaun
C.J. Watson.
Beathard.
Right. It's like a weird spin of like, actually, if you think about it, the Niners were light years ahead by not drafting Patrick. It was actually
He almost got trolled by the Barstool guys because the one guy said, and he's better
than Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick
Mahomes, right.
Well, I thought when you're first listening to that, it kind of sounds like a hit piece against the Niners. The way he's like, they didn't even look at quarterbacks. In that draft. So I'm like, oh, that's what this is. It took a weird turn halfway through.
This is off season.
I know, obviously, fan bias, all that stuff, but I don't really blame them for not looking at quarterbacks very much. Why waste your time, manpower, money on something that you kind of already have figured out, at least for the most part, right? Like, you're going, okay, Kirk Cousins, that's
right.
Seems to be the plan. Like, we'll get Bethard just in case.
But then don't deviate, though. Well, they deviated.
They deviated because something solid just fell in their lap.
Five games.
Bro.
Five. You had a plan.
I just explained, like, it was a horrible team.
I hear you.
That one makes a change at quarterback and then wins five in a row pretty epically. Like, pretty, like, close game. Like, cutting. I don't know. It was the moment. It was amazing. You also, no one knows that these draft guys are going to be as good as they are.
But I'm not talking about the draft. I'm talking specifically to your plan with Kirk.
Yeah, I'm saying Jimmy fell in their lap for a third round pick, mm-hmm. a guy that most people at the time thought could be a starter in the NFL, and the only reason he wasn't starting was because the greatest quarterback ever was in front of him. So they get this guy for a third round pick.
Second
round pick. And then he balled out. There's nothing I could say. He balled out and it was borderline magical. It was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Because it was doom and gloom for a while. Like horrible teams with some
Chip Kelly.
Yeah, with some decent. I'm even talking about with Shanahan.
Oh, okay. Yes, like the first couple years.
Yes. Yeah. It fell this way and it happened, and now we're looking back in hindsight and it's like, yeah, they should have just waited for old Kirk.
They should have. And that compensatory pick was Brock Purdy.
That compensatory pick
when he just drops it from the 5-1-0. Let Jimmy Jacket, love him or hate him, everyone still talks about it.
Let Jimmy what? What did that say?
Let Jimmy Jacket.
How did he spell? I don't understand that text.
Love him or hate him.
So the 5-1-0, to be completely transparent
like
with you.
Steal it?
This goes back to my previous job. I've just, the 5-1-0, I've seen them on the text line a couple times. And when it was, Jimmy was balling, you just say, let Jimmy Jacket.
Oh, dude.
Okay. That's terrible.
I don't know if I'm going to say that.
Definitely.
Well, you don't have to say it anymore because he's not jacking it for anybody.
Yeah.
Just he's chilling in Las Vegas.
No, he is not chilling anymore.
Oh, yeah. Where is Jimmy going to set up shop? Where is he from Illinois? Is that why he was out there?
Yeah, he was from Illinois. I mean, yeah, maybe the Bears, you know, if they're going to move on from Justin Fields and have a rookie in there, maybe Jimmy could be a backup or something.
Manny, too legit. Ayo. Let Jimmy what?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I didn't like that, dude. I don't know. I don't think that's safe to say.
No, because Jimmy, when Jimmy came back and they were balling, when Trey Lance went down and Jimmy came in, he was throwing it all over the football field and it reminded him, he said it reminded me of back in the day, you know, how we played when I first was on it and we'd be on the show and it somehow it turned into, man, just let Jimmy... Just let Jimmy Jack.
Let Jimmy bust a move. You know, let him do something.
I'm just saying. But he's not doing it anymore. When we return, continuing the conversation, 916 has something to say about Brock Purdy moving forward. And we circle back on the Kings and expectations moving forward. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 916, once you pay Brock, he's no longer good value. Brock's so good because of the cheap cost and what you can build around him. It's coming. That is the conversation that we will have. Conversation can change based on what the Niners do next season or this coming season. Right. But that is how a lot of people feel.
Sure. I would just say he can still be cheap, though. And, like, you know, I just think just because he gets paid doesn't mean blanket they're going to be screwed in terms of cap. Like, he can still, I mean, I think the prevailing thought process right now is he's probably going to take like a Tom Brady-esque deal where he leaves a lot on the table in the sake of general squad improvement. So we'll see when that time comes, but absolutely. I mean, the biggest perk of the most value in the NFL right now is absolutely Brock Purdy and his contract.
Yeah. But you have one more season. I just don't think – I think this is going to go pretty smoothly. I think that Brock is going to say, hey, I don't need the crazy
– $40 million.
The crazy $40 million or anything like that. I want to keep a good team around me, and that's going to be it. I really don't think there's going to be a lot of drama.
I think both sides are very aware of the situation. I think they both know what is making this thing work.
And – I think it'll continue to lean into content for us because he's going to be paid right at that fringe top 10, 7 to 10 range, right? And people are going to say whether he's underpaid or overpaid or whatever it is. So that is how I think this will conclude with Brock Purdy. And he has another opportunity, but he also has another opportunity to win a Super Bowl before he gets paid. Yeah. This is perfect for Brock. And if you run it and you run it all back and you keep Ayuk, it's even better. Somebody else who is still looking for a home and will be cut, they let him know yesterday, Russell Wilson will be released from the Denver Broncos. And honestly, I haven't seen him. There's too many rumors with Kirk Cousins to keep up with. I heard he's moving his family to Atlanta.
That's not happening.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of different things with Kirk Cousins. I have not seen very much with Russell Wilson. And one is coming off a torn Achilles.
Yes.
And one is not.
Yeah, but one is just bad. So
is he done, that. Russell Wilson?
I think so. He's definitely not winning two Super Bowls in the next 5 years like he wants to.
You want him on the Vikings?
I would not say want. He is a quarterback who will be like on a $1 million contract. I think that's a bit enticing. I mean, we talk about all the perks and advantages of having a guy like Brock Purdy on such a low contract, with the fact that the Broncos are going to be paying him, I don't even know how much.
$85 million dead cap hit.
That's nuts. So, I mean, they're like, Russ is good. He does not need to get a $20 million contract.
Right. Give me $20.
He can literally get paid the minimum and just say, I'm here to play. I'm getting paid, you know, in the other hand. So it's not the worst thing. It's not what I would want. But if you are a team that, A, loses out on Kirk Cousins, I think Russ is a great second option. And B, I mean, if you're a team like the Vikings or like the Patriots or any of these teams that are planning to draft a quarterback, I don't think it's the worst thing to have Russell Wilson in the building. You know, obviously he's a guy who prides himself on leadership. Whether or not he actually is a good leader or not not really to be determined. I think it depends who you ask. I think he would be a decent presence to have in the locker room. He would definitely be a distraction, but I think he would be a good guy to kind of be a placeholder for a couple weeks if you have a larger quarterback plan in place.
He has to understand that.
Yeah.
At 35 years old, come on, Russ, you got to look in the mirror now. I think he will.
I don't think so.
I think he will, but I think he will say the right things to get in the building and then feel, if I ball out, they're not going to kick. Because that's true.
Yeah.
Whether it's Alex Smith or whoever, Alex Smith eventually hit his ceiling with the Chiefs, and then they said, let's move forward. Russ probably feels, as long as I get the keys to start, that's the only opportunity I need. And that's the way that he should
go to the Commanders. Then,
look at it. And I'm open up right now. 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Also, the text line and the Sack Chat. I'm opening this one up for all my Raiders fans.
Yeah.
Because I've been seeing this a lot.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, you going up in the draft? Or do you stay where you're at, maybe get a Penix, something like that? Mm-hmm. And do you want Broncos country?
I don't think anybody wants.
Let's hide.
Let's hide for
sure. Do you want Russell Wilson?
Going from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo to Russell Wilson is torture.
It's no one that deserves
is,
that.
That is
no one deserves
the
that.
The worst souffle of quarterbacks I could imagine over a 3-year period of just frustration.
Aiden was cooking in the preseason.
Oh
though.
My gosh, he was. He was cooking in the preseason. I'm curious what Raider fan. I don't think anybody will come out and say I want Russell Wilson on my team. I think it's a matter of will you take him if he is if.
For $4.
It's really just like, I mean, honestly, would you, I think the question for the Raiders fans is, would you rather have Aiden O'Connell or Russell Wilson? Because obviously, I mean, if you're going to draft a quarterback, you're going to take that, you're going to take the rookie option, you're going to take the thing you don't know over this thing you do know every single time. But if the Raiders, if the Patriots are just like, we're staying at 3, we're going to take Jaden Daniels, you can have J.J. McCarthy if you want, you can have Michael Penix if you want, and if the Raiders aren't comfortable with that, Aiden O'Connell, Russell Wilson, or just don't watch football all year. I really...
Well, there's going to be more of it.
I feel like, I mean, Russ makes a lot of sense for Vegas. Again, Vegas was on his initial list of teams that he would be... that he said he would be willing to go to when he was leaving Seattle. Of course, there's the Sierra element of it. Vegas, obviously, is a pretty big entertainment capital. I'm sure they could find some ways of living as a family there. But Besides the fact that he's mediocre and not good, it seems to be it's a spot that needs a quarterback. It's a spot that probably wants a quarterback that has some name value, and Russ would probably like the idea of being the Raiders quarterback. So I think it checks a lot of boxes. It's just I don't think it's the thing that the Raiders ultimately want. It might be the thing they settle for.
Here are the top QBs in the 2024 draft. Caleb Williams. Yep. Jaden Daniels, right. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. That's off the top of my head. That's
Bo Nix, too. But
Bo Nix. How much is that? 5 or 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? Yeah. That's 6. And at Bo Nix, you might not need to go up for him.
Even so, Penix, there's questions.
Even Penix, I don't think you need to go up for. But these things, he did. He looked good. Yeah. And by the way, there's a video going around. I think it's from NFL. And they flipped... Penix Jr.'s arm, so he looked righty. And we're not doing this. There's no handism.
I will not have this lefty slander.
There will not be lefty erasure. We're not doing that. No handism, okay? People are saying that people were dropping balls because they weren't used to catching a lefty spot. Just stop it. Let my guy cook, all right? All we have is Mike Vick.
Right. You got Tua now.
Tua, help me out, people. Who am I missing for the lefty QBs? You got Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Tim Tebow, not looking great.
Michael Vick has got to be the greatest lefty QB. Oh, Steve Young. Steve Young is the greatest lefty QB. But it's hard out here.
It's looking bleak. Yeah, it's looking bleak.
So here's the thing for the Raiders. They sit at 13. If the Bears trade Justin Fields, we know that they have the number one pick. They need a QB. Number two, Washington needs a QB. Number three, New England needs a QB. So the way I see it is that the highest up that the Raiders could get is number four with Arizona, because maybe number five, maybe three. I saw New England wants Jacoby Brissett again, which is just hilarious to me. He probably has a second house out there at this point. And the Chargers at number five, they're not doing business.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're also. Yeah.
And the problem is if the Giants move on from Daniel Jones, the Giants might be able to get into that number four slot, because the Arizona would say, okay, we just dropped down to 6. So this not looking good for the Raiders.
Yeah, unless they want to give it all up. I mean, you're talking multiple firsts.
What would it be for Russell Wilson if he was on the Raiders? Raiders Nation, let's what?
Raider Nation, let's... it would obviously not be right. Let's
vibe?
Yeah, could be vibe. I was trying to think of like a Vegas thing that you could throw in there.
Raider
let's
Nation.
Let's roll.
You
know, dice. Yeah.
Raiders Nation. Raider Nation, we tried. Do not get Russell Wilson. He's cooked.
That's on us. We tried.
Yeah. Raider Nation, we tried. All right. We have crosstalk when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
We'll be right back.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Joined by...
Hello.
Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys. Whitey was in the building last night to watch the Kings do what the Kings do.
Yeah. Got to hand it to my wife because I left at halftime. I had some things to do at home. So I didn't leave because I thought, oh, they got this one. I had some stuff I had to do at home.
Sure.
And when I got home, you know, it was they were up 20. But then... the Bulls start coming back, and my wife, Xenia, she said, oh, I know where this is going. And I thought, oh, come on. I mean, she was absolutely right. Yeah. She's like, I'm not even watching this.
She'll be filling in for you today, right? Yeah.
They were asked about the mindset and is this, oh, here we go again. And there's nothing. We didn't even play any sound because just felt like everybody had already heard the sound before from other games. But, yeah, they're still – in my opinion, trying to downplay this whole, teams that aren't fully loaded, we don't get up for the same. And at this point, I don't need the Kings to admit it or not because we're watching it, right? It really doesn't matter what they say. There is something foundationally wrong when they face teams that they should beat, whether they think they can just roll the ball out, whatever it is, but they lose focus. And really, the bottom line is there are some teams in this league that are good enough to lose focus and still win. The Kings are not good enough to do that.
Do you want to hear my theory on the whole thing?
Please. I would love to.
Chris, you would know. I'm not sure of this because I haven't checked it, but the Kings have to be one of the few teams, and maybe there are more than I'm realizing, but I think they have to be one of the few teams that basically they have the same five starters as they had early last season.
Right.
So my point is, you know, they ran it back in the summer, decided, you know, benefits versus costs. No, we're going to kind of improve around the edges. And I've heard you guys talk about it. None of the improvements really worked. You know, they thought Keegan would be better.
Right.
And he's a little better. And Sasha and Duarte. And it just hasn't worked out. So then you got the deadline. And by all accounts, they were going to be in at the deadline. They apparently looked into Siakam, didn't do anything. So they basically have the same team. So this is a short roster.
Mm-hmm.
This roster, they identified, you know, it's flawed, and they haven't really been able to address it. So when you have a flawed roster and then you run into any kind of stress, whether it's, you know, a road trip or a bad matchup, like the Miami game where all of a sudden we should beat them, but right now they're killing us because of they're taking advantage of some matchups. There's what can you do with that roster? Mike Brown's like, okay, hang on, guys, right? I think the roster is kind of, it's not great.
Lacking.
It's a little short, I would say, and lacking. And so when things aren't going wrong, you don't have a lot of options.
People want to continue to talk about Mike Brown and say that we're caping up for him or whatever it is. And
well, you are, because he's a former Warrior.
No, I will gladly say I am caping for Mike Brown. I just, especially if this is what, you know, criticism is, like, then yes, absolutely. Like, I just don't really see, I'm with you, Whitey, like a lot of the shortcomings that I see from this team, no pun intended there, as you say, the team is short, like, is the fact that I think they don't have the horses, and then a lot of the time, I think that they just don't execute. They're not making shots, and they don't execute. And I don't see how that's Mike Brown's fault. Like, he can draw up a great game plan. I understand if you don't like X person starting over Y, or if you don't think that, you know, B should be guarding C. I get that. That's absolutely blame Mike Brown, but I feel like inconsistent performances – that's the players.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how that's on Mike Brown. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, too. How do you feel about the fact that it feels like this team can beat good competition? We talked about it yesterday. They're 8-5 against the top four teams in the West. But then it feels like they play the Spurs. You don't get their A game. Bulls, you don't get their A game. That Miami game where nobody's playing, you don't get their A game. Is that just a lack of focus, or are you reading more into that, and that's actually something that could be an actual problem for this team?
First of all, you know, and I think we're clear, but you know, when I said the roster short, I didn't mean physically.
Oh, I thought
not
you
tall.
Were saying physically.
No,
not.
I meant they don't have enough
shortcomings.
There.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because obviously they have some size.
Some,
but I mean, but just as a roster, it's not. There are not a lot of options there. I knew what you meant.
Yeah,
okay.
I did not. I should have been more clear.
So yeah, that was on me. I don't. You know, it's hard to see a lack of effort.
Yeah.
You know, the players say we got to try harder, and I say that'd be really bad if you're not trying. Right, but yes. I don't see that. I just think when they run into bad matchups, which they do, there's not a lot of options there. Like I said, and they're bad defensive team. And I think when you're bad defensively, you're just really subject to fluctuations. There's going to be times when no matter if it's a good team or bad team, you can't get stops.
Yeah.
Like the Bulls last night, teams come in here like the Bulls last night, and they knew, it's like, we're going to have fun. You know?
Yeah.
We're down 22? We're all right.
Yeah.
They can't stop us. But I thought...
That's not wrong.
I remember Mike Brown also used to talk, well, you know, we got to be better defensively. He doesn't say that anymore, and I think...
He's given up to us.
Well, I think he was talking to Monty, and now he realizes... No one else is coming, so
yeah.
Right.
I'll talk to my team about it, but there's no sense
just putting it
belittling
out there.
How bad they are defensively publicly.
Yeah, and the whole piece about the different rotations and how I even joked earlier today to say it was almost Kapler-esque how some of these players get platooned, and it's Duarte can start, and then he doesn't play, and Keon Ellis starts and has four steals and then doesn't play at all. You talk about it being a short roster as far as who you have to choose from. So is it the chicken?
Thin, I should say thin.
Thin, yeah. So is it the chicken or the egg thing? Is there no consistency in the rotation because you can't find that consistency? Or is there no consistency in the rotation because you keep rotating?
To me, when you look at the options Mike Brown has, quite often if there's a player that he wants to bring in for whatever reason, he has to make a choice. Quite a few of these guys, it's like, I know this guy's either good at one or the other, but rarely do I get both offense and defense out of fill in the blank.
Yeah, anybody. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that has a lot to do with it. It's like, I know when they were behind against Miami, somebody was called us last week. I think it was Will, and Will knows what he's talking about. I understand his frustrations, but he's like, well, what about Kessler Edwards? If he's on the team, which I don't think he is anymore, right? Didn't they send him down? But he should play. And I was thinking, yeah, but you know, if you're Mike Brown, it's like, Kessler Edwards, we're behind me at 22.
Right.
Yeah, I need some stops, but he's not going to have – I got to make up 22 points.
Right.
So he's got a lot of those choices to make, it seems to me.
Yeah. We need Sasha to
return. Then you're behind
return.
By 30, you know?
But if he gets hot, could have used Sasha last night when they couldn't
they could
make
use
a
Sasha,
shot.
I think. Though. Yeah.
What'd you think of yesterday, too? A lot of people, again, kind of pointing at Mike Brown. The third quarter stint there, I don't know if you were able to see it, where Fox and Sabonis both weren't in, you lose the 20-point lead. I think it gets cut in half there. I say that's one of those hindsight moments where I think Mike Brown was saying, if I could take Fox and Sabonis out now, we go up 25. I don't have to play them in the fourth quarter. But since it goes the other way, it looks really bad. Did you kind of have the same thought process there?
I think I'm coming from where you're coming from, which is at the time I didn't call it out.
Yeah.
I understand people who did. It's like, okay,
yeah,
maybe
people
you're
did
right.
call it
but
out.
But
I
see the reasoning. Yeah. Just like the end of the game when they didn't foul until there's 5 seconds.
Yes,
left,
a lot of people questioning that
I
as
thought,
well.
What in the world are they? That's embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. And then coach explained after the game, you were probably there. I know you were
I
doing
was not,
your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, we didn't want to go down four. We were hoping to get a steal.
Right.
You know, at some point you got a foul, but all right, I understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
But their late-game execution, that is the type of stuff, let's be honest, when you play like that down the stretch, that brings your coach into question, no matter what level we're talking about. When you play like that down the stretch, the turnovers and can't inbound the ball, and it looks like you're not sure what you're doing when you're supposed to foul, that shines a harsh light on your coach.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way.
Okay.
The Kings have 34 wins, and I think the way Chris and I did it a little bit earlier, you can't say – another coach, because another active coach. You can't say Popovich. You can't say Spoelstra. The Kings have 34 wins. If people want to, we see you on the text line from the 916. When are we going to start putting a little bit of blame on Mike Brown? They go on, that's from Folsom Mike, taking the ball out, things like that, right? The Kings have 34 wins. Same team. Enter any coach that is not available right now, that is available right now, not on a team. What I'm trying to get at is how many more games could another coach have won?
Yes.
If they won 34 with Mike Brown, what is the best coach that's available getting the getting the Kings to five more?
Well, yeah.
That sounds like a lot.
That sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's three. I will stop at three.
I'll stop at three. Yeah, but not to split the baby, but both things can be true. It's like, he's still the best coach for this team, but he's not perfect.
No, he's not perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I see, and here's the thing, three games is a lot now.
Sure.
Probably
right.
because
yeah,
of
that
the
puts
other
you
games.
Into a comfortable five seed.
But in those three games, that Blazers game is not in that. That Hornets game is not in that.
Sure.
Last night's game, if you want to throw that in the bucket, fine. You can throw that in the bucket. But yeah. I'm not throwing the Pistons game.
Yeah.
I cannot do the effort thing.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that on Coach Mike Brown.
I'm right there with you. And I don't see, I understand people being frustrated with the coach, but again, when it comes to talking about maybe getting this guy out of town, I honestly, being in the building, being here from the time Mike Brown started building this thing up, I just can't imagine you honestly could do a much better job than what he has done. And he's put the accountability on the players really since day one. Even Mike will tell you, like, even the successes of this team aren't all on him. They're not mostly on him. It's on the players. And I just feel like it's just unfair the amount of, and whatever, he's a coach, so I guess I shouldn't say unfair, but it feels unjustified the amount of criticism.
He's not the problem.
He's not. He's just not the problem.
Do you guys know, the Charlotte loss, the Indiana loss, the Detroit loss, the Miami loss, then Chicago. Do you know what all those losses had in common? They were the first game home for the Kings. Every one of those. Even though this one, it was like a one-game trip.
Sure.
But every one of those games was the first game back.
Wow. Well, Whitey will explain what that all means. He will also break down the A's rendering of their new building, which Chris and I will definitely get into tomorrow as well. Thank you for listening to Sals and Watkins. Thank you to Nate Littlefield, as always. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.